Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to, is this coming around the corner, another episode of a story break? That Writer's Room
Not
podcast?
Me.
Not me. That Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble idea or various detritus from our youth into a cinematic masterpiece. I'm your host, Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and I'm a writer, and I've been doing this shit since I was fucking 7 years old, which you're going to find out about on today's episode.
I'm Matt Arnold, and next time you hear me, I might be a dad because my wife was having contractions this morning. So
wait, what?
I'm in a pretty nervous mood. So
are you fucking for real?
Yeah, we're pretty sure they're normal, but we're definitely in that. We're definitely far enough along that now, when she starts having like contractions, we're like literally today. Morning started with like, am I gonna go to the hospital today? is my kid coming today? Also, just another, sorry, this is all on my mind. Also, my dream was, I had like the longest dream of my life, and it was nothing but getting my wife to the hospital, and it involved me not having clothes, and I was running around the hospital naked and trying to find my pants at the same time while trying to find what room my wife was in. And when I got there, all of you were playing video games in the room, and I was asking Ashley if it's okay if you're all still playing video games while she's giving birth. And she was like, and she's like, oh yeah, no, that's totally fine. I was like, okay. And then like I was feeling really uncomfortable, and then I realized, so I was like using like blankets to keep myself clothed. There's a lot what's going on, people.
Dream Sayer, what say you of this dream?
Do I even need to?
Yeah, I mean, feel like the explanation.
I mean, we can get into it. Matt's unprepared for being a father. He says he has anxiety about it. And then we're the two fucking idiots in his life, or the other thing conflicting with his impending fatherhood. The two people he works with economically to provide for his child are playing video games.
It was like a lot of people, too. So like, it wasn't just you guys. It was like my other friends.
Man,
it was funny because Astra was also having dreams about
getting
birth.
Like that's the only one.
Smash.
That has, like,
it was probably Smash. Yeah. But as I told her, she was laughing at my dream. I said the one moment and there's one thing where like I had Ashley in a stroller and I was like,
whoa,
and like our car broke down, so like I was running her to the hospital and all this stuff, and then I dropped what I thought was a baby, but it ended up just being a doll, which of course, because she hadn't given birth yet. But I did tell her that despite all the crazy stuff in the dream, the one thing I do remember is that when the baby was born, despite you all playing Smash Brothers, I was so happy I cried in the dream that my baby was born.
You're so happy that the baby was the new character in Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I was like, Smash DLC number 2, Matt's baby. Anyways.
Well, I think we should just do that for Story Break.
I'm very excited about Will's kid story.
Tell us about the story, Will.
This is, I believe this might be the first story I ever wrote.
Archaeologists say this could be the first.
Legends tell that. So this is from, I'm basing on the fact that it's called the Dragon, and it's all about dragons.
Sick.
I think.
Fucking sick.
I think it's from when I was in my dragon phase in third grade. Okay. And so, yeah, like, I don't think I ever, once I got into fourth grade, I started writing more regularly. Like I did a little choose your own adventure book and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But this, I think, might be it. Okay. And I dug it up while I was out. I was at my folks' house in Michigan, and my mom was like, guess what I found? And I was like, holy shit. So I thought we could do it for Story Break. It's only a page long. So I'm going to read it to you guys, and then we're going to figure out if we can make a movie out of this.
All right.
Okay. The Dragon by Will Campos. Story by Will Campos, written and adapted. Once upon a time in the 16th century, a dragon was born. The people took it to the royal pet shop. A boy saw the dragon, and this is what he thought. I sure would like that dragon for a pet. So Jack went inside. Jack said to the owner of the store, how much is that dragon? The owner said, that dragon is $10.
15th century dollars, though.
Okay, Jack said. Here is your dragon. Goodbye, said Jack. Mom, Dad, said Jack. What? His mom said. I got a pet dragon, said Jack. A dragon, Jack's dad said. Here it is, Jack said. Ah, Jack's parents said. You are grounded, Jack. Ah, his mom yelled. Shoot, Jack said. And take that thing with you, his mom said. Okay, Jack said, frowning. The next day. Yes, Jack said. I'm not grounded. And with that, he rushed to school. The end.
Okay, wait, so he wasn't grounded because he got rid of his dragon?
So, guess which part of the story is my favorite part as an adult, is that part, which is the what happened the next day. Okay. It's such an ambiguous ending.
Wait, so
it's like Memento or something like that.
Can you read those last three sentences again?
The next day, yes, Jack said, I'm not grounded, and with that, he rushed to school.
What's the sentence before the next day?
Okay, said Jack said, frowning, So it's like his parents are like, get out of, you're grounded. It's kind of weird because it's like,
Jack's parents said,
you're grounded. And then he says, ah, dang. And then he's like, shit, I'm grounded. And then they say, and take that thing with you. So I don't know if grounded means kicked out of the house in the 16th century.
Okay.
But then something happens that night that means Jack's not grounded anymore.
So either he did get rid of the dragon or he made his parents think he got rid of the dragon.
Or the dragon murdered his parents.
Became his new dad. So was this for
I have no idea.
You don't know what this was for?
No,
was
like I'm assuming this was for, or? I'm assuming this was a class assignment. So that's the story, guys. Wow. The boy, the dragon, the pet shop. It's like a boy and his dog, but with a dragon.
I dig it.
So that's what we got. It's set in the 16th century.
I like that.
Listen, a banger like that, I feel like we would have been buds back in grade school.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good ad. Like, if you got in front of the class and read that, I'd be like, God, hang on, this fucking cool-ass kid.
I like it. I mean, it's a very classic kid. Kid gets a wild pet.
Yeah.
And parents don't want them to have that pet.
And then it's like, oh, man.
I do like that in... what's
the 16th
century strange,
so specific, Will.
That's not the most interesting thing about the story to me. Not to discount your love of the 1500s, Freddie.
But Michelangelo's David, 1504.
What's interesting to me is that
Mona Lisa.
The way the story is set up, dragons seem like the most mundane thing in the world because they just find it and then they just give it for free to a pet shop. So it's not like, oh, this is a strange creature.
Well, it
and
is.
The pet shop
like
just gives
pest.
It for $10.
It's like a pest.
Yeah. It is the royal pet shop.
It is a royal pet shop. So how is this kid buying it from the royal pet shop?
So, but I guess he has 10 bucks.
Okay.
Because the dragon's $10.
And it makes me think maybe the kid was like on a field trip to the castle. You know, like back, like,
is this,
you know.
Is this blank, check, but with dragons?
blank ducat.
And just
blank
so happens,
promissory note.
And like most of the time when you go there, it's like, you know, it's always weird when there's like a gift shop in a hospital. I've been going to hospitals a lot. There's like gift shops in the hospital, which I guess makes sense. You like let you buy a gift. But like, yeah, the idea is like, oh, every once in a while the king opens up the castle. So like, the peasants can come see
can
it.
Can come to the royal
pet shop.
And the
gift shop's usually like a mug that says the castle on it and shot glasses that say the castle on it. It's like, this is all really boring. But just for some reason, this day, there's a dragon there.
Mm-hmm.
How did he get that 10 bucks?
Well, maybe he stole it.
Oh, shit.
Maybe okay. He's a little bad boy.
Okay. So it's Jack
and
the Dragon.
What we
Jack
got
and
right
the
here,
Dragon.
What we got right here is the framework of the next DreamWorks animated classic. So I'm going to go ahead and start the clock.
This is going to be a spinoff to How to Train a Dragon.
Yeah, I was about to say, How to Purchase a Dragon for
from a royal pet shop.
From the royal.
Okay.
So I like the idea of a royal. So really quick, I like the idea. There's just as far as like IP building places that you can, you know, merchandise.
The
and
royal
make a
pet shop.
Yeah, the royal pet shop. Kind of cool. You know, what kind of delightful animals and creatures of the woods can be found there.
Yeah,
because
you take an online quiz and it tells you which pet you should bond with from the royal pet shop, and then you make you link them to the Amazon link to buy the pet, and their parent has to pay
for
it.
We do a brand deal with Build-A-Bear, so it's like build a creature, and it's like a whole range of like modular stuffed. Yeah.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But just to be clear, like I think that's not a bad like cool fantasy fun setting of because you never see that, right? You never see like what is the ossuary, what is the word for, like, you know, it's like it's a bunch of animals and like cool magical animals and shit.
Oh, so you know something I'm gonna pull out here as well.
I guess that's Fantastic Beasts, isn't it?
This to me clearly reads like it's a baby dragon.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely assume that as well.
I could
see
that,
I assume it was a small dragon.
Because 15 bucks, right? Or
10
bucks.
But once upon a time in the 16th century, a dragon was born. And then the people took it to a royal pet shop. So, like, it's not like then 10 years later, the dragon became all big and scary. So I feel like it's, because now, like, I think third grade Will was onto something. Because, like, a story about, like, a kid and, like, a puppy dragon.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Also, what happened to his parents?
I don't know. It could be an egg, right? It could be a dragon, like,
so do they
egg
breed dragons? It just says a dragon was born. Seems pretty mundane. Does the castle have lots of dragons? Maybe this castle, the gift shop, there's just fucking tons of dragons there. The castle just has lots of dragons, and when a dragon's born, they send it to the gift shop, and then people buy dragons for 10 bucks.
Oh, it's like a dragon farm.
And maybe they have, I don't know, or is it
and
special
legislation
this
in California which bans sale from
or
dragon
Or it's
farms.
Like they, you know, you could do the classic, like, you know, it's kind of like when, like, what do you know, like people get baby alligators as pets and then they get big and then, you know, it's like a nuisance or whatever. You could do that, like it's like that, right? Where like they steal dragon eggs or like dragons are born and they take them away to sell them to, you know, rich people in the city, right?
And then maybe the kid's got to get the dragon back home to its mom. I don't know.
The idea
maybe
of doing purebred dragons versus mutt dragons and like
a dragon puppy
farm.
This
is the best.
Breed of dragon. This is like, now we're into that really manipulative shit, right? Is you do like, why is the dragon only $10? Because he's got ugly.
He's got no fire on his tail.
Yeah.
Okay, so I got.
I've got a bit of a buck tooth.
Yeah, he's got one big cute buck tooth.
Oh my god, he's lost his sense of balance, so he's always like tumbling over.
He can't
himself.
Fly. He
can't
something
fly,
like that.
Wings clipped.
It's one of the first times we have the actual author of the work we're adapting.
That's true.
I definitely don't want to step on because the work as it is perfect. But it is, you know,
because
we
just
want
to build and expand upon the universe.
Unfortunately, we have to find a way to make it work in an entire movie. So we're going to have to take some liberties with your wonderful story.
Just
Will.
Say that you're adapting it based off of the original manga.
Yes.
This isn't a remake of The Dragon. It's
because I'm trying to think of what other. So, for example, I could see, okay, it's going to be a kid, Jack. What are the other kids in this neighborhood? Is there, what I was thinking, maybe the reason the dragon's in the gift shop is maybe there is like a shitty prince kid named like, I don't know, like Freddy.
Prince Freddy, okay.
what did you say? What Freddy?
King. I said Prince Freddy.
Prince Frederick.
Oh, no. And his dad was also Prince Freddy, which makes him Freddy Prince Jr.
Shit. Okay. So there's Prince Freddy Jr. or Freddy Prince Jr.
Prince All Timer.
Prince
That's
Freddy
an all timer. That's
Jr.
an all timer. Hey everybody, let's go ahead and start the wiki of this podcast and just put this episode down as all timer dad joke.
But what I like to think is that Freddy Prince Jr. was like, I want I have everything. I'm a prince. Like I've gotten all the gold I wanted for my birthday. Like I want a dragon. And the king's like, oh my god, can you guys just find a way to give my son a dragon? And his head, he wants a big dragon.
Oh.
And they go and also he can't take a big dragon, so they get this baby dragon. They give it to Freddy Prince Jr. for his birthday. He throws a big fit. He's like, this is bullshit. I thought dragons were 40 feet tall and blew fire and shit like that. Get rid of it. Not because he doesn't understand. They're like trying to tell him, it's like, oh, get bigger. And some stuff he's like, yeah, whatever. And they put it in the gift shop.
I want bigger dragon now.
And so then this kid gets it. Then what you could do is, of
course, dragon grows up.
This dragon starts growing
up. And he's
up.
The coolest kid in school now because he's got
the
big dragon.
And then Freddy Prinze Jr.'s like, how come this peasant has a dragon? I want a dragon. He's like, that's the dragon you got. Originally, like, that was my dragon in the first place. And there could be a bit of like them learning about each other sort of thing.
This is, you know what this reminds me of? I have to tell a story about my wife when she was a little kid.
I think I know this story.
Apologies to, we want to have Cherish on at some point to do Garfield, but and so she can maybe tell the better version then. But so this is one of my favorites. Well, this is one of my all-time favorite stories when I heard it. So she was in, when she was a little kid, she went to Toys R Us with, like, she had two friends, her friend and her little brother, right? Mm-hmm. And their mom would spoil them and buy them, like, a bunch of stuff at the store.
Yeah.
And so they were, this is when they were all super into Pokemon, right? Mm-hmm. And so Cherish would, like, again, like, she would save up her money and buy, like, one variety pack, like, a month or whatever to see what cards she got. They blow into to Toys R Us or whatever, and the mom buys them like the entire, like they have that long box.
Yeah, like
she just
boxes.
Buys them just a,
she got a long box,
like 100 Pokemon bags, yeah. Right? And this is while Cherish is spending the night at their house because her mom's out of town, and so it's like she just buys all this shit for her kids, and then like on their way back to the car, like Cherish didn't get anything at the toy store, right? And so they're in the car, she and her little brother are like ripping open Pokemon bags, and they see Cherish looking sad, and they're like, oh, here's one for you, right? And they just kind of
a pittance.
Chuck her one little Pokemon card bag, and she opens it, and I shit you not, there's a holographic Charizard inside it. Like the fucking crown jewel of Pokemon characters. And then, like, her friends just flipped out and started crying and wouldn't speak to her for the rest of the weekend. So then she had to call her mom to come pick her up and go home.
Those kids are definitely Republicans now, and they never will believe in
last time I did a hand. No.
But the tale continues because then later she was so proud of the holographic Charizard that she showed it off everywhere, and she had it with her at Chinese school, and then when she was on break she came back and the card was gone.
I think her original friends took it.
You think? But I don't think they went to Chinese school.
I think they put on yellow face.
Yeah. They were horrible people.
They were horrible. They attempted to blend in, as it were.
It happened the same day they were making fun of these two kids that didn't quite look Chinese. And they were never seen again after that. It was very weird.
Oh, that's a great story, Will.
That's an all-timer.
Anyway, but what? To bring this back around. So
it's a custody battle. It's Kramer versus Kramer,
then
with a dragon.
Then kid, he's got to run from the prince.
I want a I want a medieval courtroom drama about
and
custody.
And this kid needs to learn. Like again, he didn't get exactly what he wanted in that moment. He threw it away, and it's like, hey, you know, like shit takes time, kid.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. No, but what I was getting to is that seems like a very classic, like little kid jealousy conflict.
Yes.
I'm just telling dumb stories. Do you remember the idea we had for like a playground version of The Prestige, but it was about who could do the best armpit fart?
Oh yeah, it's so good.
So, Freddie, you'll appreciate this.
This is VGHS, right?
I can't remember when we came up with this. This is so fucking good. I can't stand it. But it was like this kid. One kid is the best at doing armpit farts, right? Yep. And then another kid, like he goes to like a playground doctor, and he's like, "Guess what? I got a butt installed in my mouth, so that I could fart out my mouth, and I could so he could do the like with his because that was the rivals. One kid does armpit farts, and the other one puts his hands up to his.
No, it's gonna be this version of Tesla, or
there's this kid on the playground, like this eccentric David Bowie kid. He's like, I can put a butt in your mouth for one lollipop. And so then he's like, behold,
do you want a butt in your mouth?
I have a butt in my
Timothy,
mouth.
Timothy, do you want a butt in your mouth?
I am the best at farts now. And then the other kid's like, I must destroy him. Oh, no, okay, I can't remember. Anyway, it was the other kid we just found out was just shitting his pants while he was doing the arm motion. Yeah. So yeah, those are the guy mutilated himself by getting a butt in his mouth. And then he discovers the other guy's secret was just the entire time he was just shitting his
pants. Yes, he couldn't understand what the kid's secret was. He thought he must have gone to this mysterious person, which I guess kind of became impulse, where it's like, I guess I gotta go get the same energy drink this kid gets. But yes, he mutilates himself and gets, I forget if it was a butt in the mouth or a butt in your armpit. So
I think
like
it was in his mouth and he couldn't talk. He'd only talk in farts. Yeah.
My God.
And then he's like,
truly
I win.
A parable of the ages.
He's like, I win. And the guy's like, I was just shitting my pants all the time.
No!
Like, what have I done?
Anyway.
Maybe it wasn't that
thanks for
idea.
Listening to Story Break. I like the poop stige. I thought it was pretty good.
Very good.
Okay, to get
it turns out there were two. He's like there are two butts in that equation. There's two. He's using a double. He's using a double. I guarantee it. It's like no, it has to be something else. It turns out it's like I just have my other guy, my other friend, my butt twin. He was just off to the side all the time.
No, I know he's not using somebody else's butt. That fart sounds exactly like it comes from his butt.
Don't you get it? Every time I fart, my friend dies. I die. I'm getting dunked into a...
He always does the fart at the top of the slide. That comes out of the slide. And you don't know which one of them came out. Is it him or his butt twin?
Okay.
All right. Well, okay.
Wow, you got two for one this week, everybody.
Yeah,
look,
boom,
look.
Boom, boom.
Don't ever. This is the most. This is the highest value podcast in all of podcast stuff. You can sometimes get two episodes in one.
You get your money's worth in the first 15 minutes, and the rest is free.
It's like a holographic Charizard of a.
Yeah, I know, right? You thought,
you thought you were coming in for one.
Okay, to get back to the dragon. So, this is all my thing is that it's a kid rivalry, right? So. The prince
kid
wanted
rivalry is fun. I like that.
The prince wanted the dragon. He, you know, he's like, this is a dumb, shitty dragon. It doesn't even have flame on its tail, or it has this big, goofy tooth.
And it's the size of a tiny puppy. What the hell is this?
Yeah, I wanted a cool dragon to destroy.
I want a dragon that could kill my enemies.
Yeah, like I saw Game of Thrones last week. I want that dragon.
Yeah.
And then they're like, but don't you remember the dragon was small? I don't want the small one.
And the guy feels really guilty. Like, the kids are like, just kill it. Just throw it out in the back or whatever. And the guy feels really bad. He's like, so he puts it in the gift shop instead.
Yeah, like the Grounsky, the Hagrid character is like, you know, and then so then another kid comes in and sees this cute little dragon.
Yeah.
And he's like,
$10, what a steal. He's like, listen, we're trying to get rid of it, like, so the kid just get here, kid buy it.
So okay, so is this like maybe a Magic Beans thing where Jack was sent to town with $10 to buy groceries and he came back with a dragon?
I like that. That's probably even more why he's
this
grounded.
Is like their life savings,
and he went to the king. He was sent
to
the
kingdom.
They
were gonna kill the dragon. They literally, because this ugly dragon's been sitting in the pet shop, and they're like, I'm going to have to fucking throw it out or whatever, or drown it. And so he spends the $10 to save the dragon's life, maybe.
Okay, he went, okay, what was he going to the king to buy in the first? I do like that they send their kid off with $10.
It's the taxes.
To the castle.
It's the taxes.
Oh,
it's
the tax money. Because you do the dad at first.
Because they're all tyrants up there.
Yeah, and you do the dad's, the kid, the other kid's dad is like the sheriff, right? Mm-hmm. So like he's the tax man.
Yeah.
And so then you do like at first he's like, I'm not fucking buying you this dragon again. Like, are you kidding me? He's like, wait a second. They used their tax money to buy that dragon. We're getting that dragon back.
Yeah.
That's good. I like that.
Okay.
Which sets up a tense medieval courtroom drama.
Yeah.
No, necessarily. Not necessarily.
Only if it's the dragon who comes in with like
Khaleesi versus Khaleesi.
And the dragon comes in and essentially explains that nobody can own him because he's a sentient being, and he's like, this is wrong.
I'll be litigating for me own hand.
Okay. So, okay, I like that these parents sent, because, like, you know, they're working hard, they're serfs, they're you know, in the fields, they don't have any time, and, you know, frankly, back then you had kids because they were extra free labor, so they're like, all right, go send.
Yeah, and then the dad got banned from the Something Awful forums for flaming someone, and he's got to go give $10 to Lotax to get a new membership.
So then he's like, all right, go to the castle.
Hope you got $10, sorry. This is a weird episode.
give our taxes to the king or whatever. And the kid goes there. He's about to put his $10 in the taxes box.
Yeah, their problem for.
And then also he looks
kid.
At the gift store and he's like, well, you know, I'll have some extra money because, you know, maybe his parents even say like, here's $10 and like a penny to go buy a penny candy or something.
Yeah, go
and
get a penny candy. And he goes to get the penny candy first.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And then he sees the dragon, $10.
And he goes, what if I give them this penny for the taxes and yeah. I use the $10
on
the dragon?
I like to think he says that. He's like, oh, you know, I'll buy the dragon and I'm sure we can get $10 and then I'll put a penny in the taxes. And then he comes out and he's got the dragon and a penny candy. He's like, no, of course he's not gonna. He's still gonna get his penny candy.
Yeah.
Okay. So he comes back with his dragon.
So Jack comes back with the dragon, and his parents are like, "What the fuck? You're
does
grounded
tell
from
them,
school."
Does he tell them? Does he tell them?
Oh, you know what you could do though. You know what you could do is like maybe. Okay. Well, let's see. Okay. So as he comes back, his parents are like, "What the fuck? You bought a dragon? Like, are you kidding me?" Like, and they're mad at him, right? Because they're like, "Shit, we're screwed with the king now, right?" And then,
do you think grounded doesn't mean grounded from school, but more like
a sort of medieval torture?
Medieval torture that involves like working in the ground or something. And then at the end, it's that the reason he's not grounded is because he's flying his dragon.
God. That's interesting.
No. Okay. So, but the point is that does he tell the first question, does he tell his parents that he didn't pay the taxes or does he come up with some excuse as to how he got this dragon?
Oh, I could see something
that's
like
another
that.
Because like it's also like it could also be one of those things when he realizes like, yo, what do you think the fucking taxation system was back then? It was mostly like, give us your taxes, and if they don't, you'll probably die. But like, they don't have like an accounting system, did they?
Yeah, I'm sure they had a ledger.
They didn't invent writing and numbers in medieval
Europe. But you know,
Europe,
the movies
right?
somehow
like,
they came up with currency, but no way to track what payments were.
But in the movies,
the concept of zero was only invented in medieval Europe in the 1700s.
But
as
in the movies,
we all know.
You know, there's always people on horses coming. They're like, give us your taxes, and they go, oh, and they just give them a bag and they ride off. It's like, you know. And like, I feel like back then he could have been like, oh no, I already gave you my taxes last week. Like, oh, well, I do write a lot. So like, yeah, that makes sense, I guess. This is another, I have 50 bags in my, you know, bag. So.
Okay. I think we can kind of peel off from, I'm going to apologize to third grade Will and say that like, you know, we're using this as a springboard for our idea, but I don't know that we need to be bolted canonically to, like you said, everything in the thing.
But what is there is great, so we should just keep what's... I mean, yeah.
All right, so he comes home with the dragon. Yes, okay, so does he lie? Yes, it's more interesting if he lies, right?
Yeah, he has got to dig himself into a hole.
So he says, a burglar took the money, and this dragon came and saved me.
This bandits.
This dragon scared him off, and they're like, that dragon looks pretty tiny to have scared off...
grown men with crossbows.
Grown-ass men.
Oh, this is good, because what you could do is, he lies. I'm just thinking ahead. Like, if this was a fairy tale, it's like, he lies, and then the dragon starts growing big. And then the kingdom or the tax man realizes that this family wasn't here to pay the taxes. So they come to take the taxes from them
audited.
Or punish them.
They
and then they see the dragon, and the dragon fights them off.
Oh.
And so now it's a big deal. It's like, hey, this fucking peasant didn't pay the taxes and has a dragon and fought
our
people.
And their neighbor's
so
like, oh, the Johnsons didn't pay their taxes and now the dragon protects them.
But
like,
then,
we don't pay taxes either.
But then they come down and they're like, well, they're going to kill the family now. And then the prince stops like, wait a second, that's my dragon. It's big now. I want that dragon. But the dragon is untamable except for that it loves Jack. So then the agreement is the dragon... Jack needs to come with the dragon. So then the parents lose his kid. So now Jack and the dragon come and live with the king. And then it's about like, is there...
He's going to go to school with the prince.
Yes, because the dragon is like deadly, but Jack can calm it. So then it's like,
yeah, yeah,
don't
yeah.
worry, mom and dad. It's my fault that this all happened. I'll go and And
he'll be like the royal caretaker. Yes, for the dragon,
so he becomes the royal dragon caretaker now.
Oh, this is very good.
And he's all lonely and homesick, but then he's going to become friends. And then maybe at the end, it's like a thing where like the prince finally lets him go. And like, you know.
And then the dragon eats the prince.
The dragon eats the prince.
And the peasant revolt happens.
Okay,
and then the kid is going to realize the dragon's just like him because he's just stuck in as a cage in the castle, just like he was keeping this dragon in his
house. He's got a song. Yeah. He's got a nice little song where he sings.
He's going to let the dragon go. And then the prince who's learned humanity is going to say goodbye to his friend who's leaving and going back to his family.
So it's the prince, the pauper, and the dragon.
Yeah, it's the prince, the pauper, and the
dragon. The prince, the pauper, the dragon.
And his cook and the lover.
Cook, yeah.
and his wife.
Tinker
and his
Taylor.
And then you get like the fun, like, you know, in the castle, like shenanigans as this kid.
Because what really Oak is the prince, what the prince really needed was a friend.
Yes.
He didn't need a dragon. He needed a friend.
He needed a friend.
Yeah, you know, and he felt like no one ever, he's the spoiled kid and everyone hates him. And, you know, he's putting up this armor to the world. That's what he wants, a big badass dragon. So no one will, that's what he finds.
No,
that's what
mess
the,
with them.
That's what the kid finds out once he goes to the castles at school. The prince gets picked on by the other kids.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's why he wanted this dragon, was so no one would mess with him.
By the other princes. It's like prince school.
And the prince is like, they bring the kid into the castle, and you know, the king and the queen are like kind of nice and like, oh, Jack, here's your room you can sleep in. And then, you know, then all of a sudden he wakes up in the middle of the night and it's the prince, it's Freddie Prinze Jr. He's like, you don't sleep in your room, you sleep in the freaking hay with the dragon. And he kicks him into the thing, so now he's like,
and then
stuck
he goes
at night sleeping cold. And the dragon like flames his belly up and gets all warm. He's like, oh, this is so adorable. This poor kid is sleeping with the dragon.
Freddie Prinze Jr. is like, you don't sleep in here, you sleep in the slave's closet. He's like, this is still bigger than my entire house.
Wow.
Like,
house.
Okay.
But then there'd be an element of like, there'd be the growth of like, after a while, Freddie Prinze Jr. is like upset, like begins to realize like the dragon will do what he says because Jack is there. But like, he sees the special connection between Jack and the dragon. He's like, how do you get the dragon to like nuzzle you? And like, he's like, well, you gotta be kind to it, dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, he starts learning. He's like, starts teaching this prince how to tame this dragon.
And he's like,
which makes him a more
kind. What is kind?
What's
kind? That's really good.
Who's the bad guy? Who's the external?
Is there an external force?
I guess
you probably have to do that. The king and queen. I mean,
well, you do. Okay, no, but you do this. You do their parents get into a beef, right? Where the fucking the peasants are going to revolt.
Yes.
Yeah. The king,
because the peasants have the idea of like, wait a minute, we didn't have to, they didn't pay taxes once, and they're fine. You said that hellfire would rain
like,
upon us.
The peasants are like, holy shit, these dragons. Where did they find that dragon? If we get a whole army of dragons, we can fucking take the kingdom.
We could seize the means of production. We are the means of production.
Freddie Prinze Jr. comes down for breakfast. He's like, oh, good morning, Jack. Oh, are you worried because that whole peasant revolt and your parents are probably going to die tomorrow because like my king and my mom and dad are totally going to wipe out all the peasants? Yeah, I can see why that would be a bummer. Anyways, you want to go like throw like frisbees with the dragon. But yeah, I like that there's this like ongoing, I like that it essentially goes to the king and queen are going to have to put down a peasant's rebellion. And these three little kids, these two kids and a dragon
and he's
are gonna
get,
bring peace to,
and he's
gotta
get Freddie, he's gotta get Freddie Prinze Jr. to stand up to his dad.
Yes.
And because like they're gonna like, they need, the only way to do whatever, there's some kerjigger, there's some whatchamacallit that they have to get to stop the dragons from burning the town and everyone getting killed.
Yes.
And the only way to do it is they have to free the dragon from his cage
and fly
him out to go stop the thing, right? So he's gotta convince Freddie Prinze Jr. to go steal the key.
Yes.
And then he's got to steal the key from his dad or his mom or whatever. And then they bust out the dragon, and then they're, you know, they team up for this adventure.
I love the idea.
Dad, I have a crazy idea. What if you paid the peasants?
Paid
the workers? Who told you this? My friend Jack. Jack? Yeah, that person over there. That person. I just see a peasant. Yeah, no, Dad. Peasants are people. Wait, what? There's been another person living in our house this whole time? It's like, he literally has to teach his father about basic. Yeah.
All right.
Start the parliamentary system or something.
I like the idea that that they go to like, you know, like, we need to stop these dragons from like terrorizing the land. So they need to like bring, you know, they bust out their dragon. They go over there, and then it's just a long extended sequence of like dragon negotiations, all done in subtitles. I'm like, I don't understand what's going on. Do you know what's happening, Freddie Prinze Jr.? Like, I can't. It's, they're just screaming.
It's, they're watching it on D-SPAN.
And then
God damn it. Can we circle back to a couple ideas?
Oh,
ago?
So good.
Freddie brought something up that I really want to dig into more, which is the idea of Prince School.
Prince School. Okay. You think
welcome
of Prince-
to Prince High.
Okay, listen.
Is it just him, though? Like, I like that he goes down hallways with lockers, and he goes from class to class, but it's only him. That's why he's so lonely. This is exaggerated. He's got this lonely school.
Well, no, they were saying that he's getting picked
on. You need bullies and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what the other prince is. Like, Lord Fauntleroy from the kingdom next door is like a total twerp.
Yeah.
Because you need to have good
motherfuckers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he's like, I'm a cool prince. I got a dragon now. And then eventually, like, then the other princes find out that dragon doesn't listen to him and only listens to his little
how good is this?
Kid.
How good is this? Prince school. Okay. In prince school, it's all the princes from around the lands, okay? When they play football, it's not, they don't have a team. It's just the prince's own armies fight each other on a field. And they're like, Lord Fauntleroy has won this engagement. It's like, you've killed 40 people. And it's like, dang, we'll get them next time, boys. And like, half of your team died. Like,
but I love prince school.
I love it.
Oh, we have a match today. And then the princes just stand up in the stands and they clap their hands and
as their servants
their servants come in to fight because then you have what's fun is that you have like Jack has to be like he enrolls him in the prince school. It's like but you're not
prince. You know what you do, they're playing that, you know, like that big human chess. They're playing big human chess and then like the guy who is playing the guy who's the knight gets like, you know, diphtheria or whatever and dies and then the earth gets the plague and he's sick today, so then the dragon becomes the new knight and it's like you gotta like so it's like this very like high stakes like come on now dragon don't flip out and burn the chessboard
it's
down
just very clearly just like a dragon like it but by this point the dragon's like man sized and it's just falling out of the armor at all points and just like it's just like a dragon in a coat of armor.
There is something I do like what I think you were saying, Frey, is that I like the idea that Jack has to pretend to be a prince because what you do is he wants to bring the dragon to school because that's gonna make him cool, but the dragon flips out if it's not near Jack.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
It's improper to bring a peasant into prince school, so then they have to come up. It's like Aladdin.
Yeah.
So Jack is like his cousin who's the prince of some made-up kingdom, and then one kid's like, I've never heard of that kingdom.
I've got an idea. Could you do something where then they ask Jack like what his kingdom is like,
yes.
right? And then he tells them like, well, you know, my kingdom, we take care of our peasants, and we pay them, and blah, 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 blah. And they're like, that's the fucking stupidest thing I've ever heard. This kid sucks. But then you cut to one of the peasants working at prince school. Who hears about this this
shit.
Kingdom and he comes back to the village.
So
he's like
good.
There's a place that we have to get to, we have to escape, you know, like Jack inadvertently sparks this revolution.
I
love that he sparks this global conflict with a country that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Like all of a sudden the king's like, have you heard about
we need to invade this
there's this country called Dragatonia that supposedly pays their peasants and I'm hearing mumblings about it, and then like another king comes and is like, I don't know what your kid is saying at prince school, but now there's riots in our peasant streets.
Oh my god, that's
because
so
of
good.
Your cousin or whatever. And it's like they're literally all the kings are getting upset because this like ideology is like spreading through the kingdom. What I also like is that you also get the classic.
They're like, we must suss out the secret location of Dragatonia.
Yes, yes.
And then like there's spies like following the kid around trying to figure it out. And then like you do some comical misunderstanding where like there's some location that they're now going to just try to blow off the face of the earth.
Oh, the location is where the baby.
Dragon is from. Yeah.
The
they're gonna wipe
from.
Out this dragon land.
Yes, and they realize like the dragon the whole time has just been like their tool, but it's like, no, the dragon's just a creature and he just wants to get back to his parents, and now his parents are gonna get killed from all their
That's
stuff.
Very good. So it's not a dragon war, but yeah. So
yes,
here's what you
the
do.
The two kids work together to save the dragon's parents and let him
go. And then
go.
They let him go. Yeah. So that's very cool, because here's the other thing you do is that it's like, because yes, you have these spies who are trying to suss out the location of Dragontonia and its secrets or whatever. So like, where is the capital of Dragontonia, right? And the kid, who we already know is a compulsive liar, just starts making up bigger and bigger lies. Like, it's this forest. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. And then they go and they're like, we didn't see any castles in that forest, boy. And then he's like, well, yeah, duh, it's protected by magic. Or they have magic? Like, they have, like, you know. So then, yeah, they're like, yeah, the dragons
love,
are the source of the magic.
That's so good. The idea that like all these adults are taking everything this kid these in outlandish lives completely seriously, and then because it's a magical world we live in, he can just make insane shit up, and they're like, indeed,
my
the
God.
Magics are the war. They have powerful warlocks, indeed, that can hide these castles from sight.
So then, yes, you do that. Yeah, so there's domestic unrest because people are like, we want better rights like the people in Dragontonia and the king. And so there's like an unrest going on there. And he's like, and then it bolts like, you know, builds up to like, you know, there's a bonanza or a ball or it's prince school graduation.
It's prince prom.
Prince prom is going on, and then the peasants storm prince prom. There's a big fight. And the king is like, this is getting out of hand. We're going to destroy Dragontonia. And he's like, oh no.
By the way, prince prom is just like a bunch of 12-year-olds with like 40-year-old queens. Like 40-year-old women. There's like, ah, yes, this is my mother's first sister. I'm scheduled to marry her. It's just all these little kids and all these 40-year-old women. There's like, Jesus Christ, this system doesn't work right. This is wrong. Sorry.
That's really good. I like that.
What I like is just to get to Jack for a second, because, like, yes, there's going to be a little element of My Fair Lady, because I think what you do is you need to make Jack kind of a shitty kid.
Oh yeah,
like obviously you feel bad for him because he's a peasant, and like this guy's a the prince, Freddie Prince Jr. has no empathy and is just a horrible monster of a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Jack has no discipline and no responsibility.
Yeah,
like he doesn't sympathize.
He spins outlandish lies.
He doesn't sympathize with how hard his parents work. Like he just wants to, like, again, he just throws away the taxes for a dragon. So again, you would have. He's learning all these princely things. Like, he's learning manners and discipline and your duty and stuff like that. He does learn stuff from Freddie Prinze Jr., and Freddie Prinze Jr. is learning how to be an empathetic person, not a horrible monster.
So, at the
end, it'd be like, you know, he's like a better kid at the end as well. So, like,
You do that. Jack is like a dreamer, right? Like, he's like, again, like, he makes up, you know, like, he would be a storyteller if he knew what that was.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, he spins yarns, you know, and he, you know, makes up stories, and he gets into trouble because he's an adventure seeker, right? And he cares about people and he wants to see the world, but he's, again, uncouth and rude and, you know, all that stuff.
And also self-interested in a different way,
like
self-absorbed. So these two kids are going to learn from each other because of this dragon, and then they're going to realize, like, wait a second, this dragon's just not a tool for us to learn from. This dragon's its own beautiful creature, has its own family, and wants to leave. It isn't our pet. Like, we got to defend their home. Then they essentially stop this global European warfare or whatever protect this dragon's land, and then they let their best friend go.
You know what would be cool is that at the end, you basically do the E.T. scene, you know, where it's like he's letting E.T. go, and then the dragon turns around, and it's like, yo, you guys are crazy, man. He's like, whoa, you can talk. He's like, yeah, I can talk the whole time. I just keep my mouth shut. You guys are fucking crazy, dude. And it turns out the dragon can talk the whole time. And then the sequel is like, the dragon's back. And he's just like, tell us what it was like in the human world. And then it's just like, you know.
No, the sequel is, the end of the movie is after they let the dragon go, they're all having a good time. And you cut back and the dragon is talking to all, like, you see an army of dragons. He's talking to all of them.
The
and
humans
then you just
are
cut
weak.
To the play. And then you look up, it's just a sky full of dragons coming.
We always talk about doing a D404 like that, where it would be like the last 10 minutes of E.T. is the start of the episode.
Oh, that's
and then
great.
The alien gets freed and he's like, I have scouted out the human defenses.
They are weak and vulnerable to attack. They're fools.
They were thwarted by a child.
Well, let's go through the acts.
We gotta go through. But how much time do we have left?
We're at the 30-minute mark.
What
on this
the hell?
Oh my god! Story break speed run.
I'm trying to think of. Okay. Well,
we could do the sequel. The Dragon Trilogy.
Okay. Let's just break down the five acts.
Yeah, let's get a five act out.
So, right, your first act is this precocious, adventurous kid who. You know, it's charming at first because you're like, oh, he's this peasant in this horrible world, but he doesn't seem to care. But it's also like his parents are trying really hard to make it by and he's not very helpful.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. He's so, irresponsible.
Yeah. Irresponsible dreamer of a kid living in like a serfdom style 15th century land or whatever, is given the task and is annoyed that he's given the task his dad has saved one penny for dinner with his parents. To give his wife something special. That's how you kind of get the kid's selfishness. And the kid's like, I don't want to go give taxes. I want to go troll up in the fields. And so he's like, here, if you go, we'll give you this penny so you can buy a candy at the castle. Okay, what do you do? He's like, all right, that's pretty cool. And then he goes off. You're like,
okay,
this kid's got something to learn. And he goes off and he, instead of paying the taxes, he buys a dragon.
because he sees it in the gift shop.
So you'd actually have like a little teaser at the beginning of the birth of the dragon. It's given to Freddie Prinze Jr., who doesn't want it because it's small and tiny.
And you do that kids movie thing where it's like the narration is what you will learn is the narrations from the point of view of the dragon later in life. But it's like, when I was born, I was a and you're like, where is this going? I get it.
The dragon being a narrator is really charming because you end with him telling his dragon kids like the story of his home. Okay. Irresponsible kid buys a dragon instead of pays taxes.
Yeah. So, and again, like, I think you could do like you could open on him telling a story to a bunch of other kids. Like, he's making up this fantastical tale.
I like that.
And, you know, he's got them right where he wants them, and they're like right in the middle of it. And then his parents interrupt him.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you got to go. We need you to go pay the taxes. Yeah. Right. And again, they're like, they have to send the kid to pay the taxes because they're behind on their taxes.
Yeah.
But they know the tax man is going to beat the shit out of a 10-year-old. So they're like, they know they can buy a little bit more time if they send the kid.
I like this.
Smart parents.
Brutally humorous.
No, I do love
world.
The idea of a very brutal.
All the other
world.
Kids like, ooh, you haven't paid taxes. Your parents are gonna get decapitated. Mm. And they're like, shut up. And then he walks off. Okay. So second act is
he gets to the store, or he gets he's gonna go pay his taxes, and then he sees the dragon in the shop.
Yeah.
And he buys the dragon instead.
Yes. Yeah.
And then meanwhile, we've been doing this stuff with from the other perspective with Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah.
that he is wanted this dragon, you know, he or like he wanted a dragon, right? He demanded a dragon for his birthday.
So like in all the tapestries,
all of the knights went on like a Holy Grail style quest across the entire earth to find a dragon for this kid. Like it was like they went out on a saga, right? Yeah. And then one night you start with this incredible montage of like knights in you know, in like all over the world. They're in Africa, they're in, you know, in the Middle East, they're in the frozen north.
And then
why they find a dragon, they're like, oh my god, I found a dragon. And they come, he comes back with a dragon. Like it's like, I don't want that dragon, it's little, it sucks.
I love that. Like the beginning of Hellboy, when like then you get, you cut the little cute Hellboy, but it's like this epic beginning, and it's like these dragon hunters and this army are getting flamed alive, and it's like one man without an arm is lying in the ash field of the battlefield and watches the dragons leave, and then he hears a little whimper.
Oh no,
his little baby dragon, he picks up, he goes, yes, we have found one. And then just hard cuts, like, fuck that dragon, it's tiny. He's like, wait, what? It's like, I don't want it, Dad.
Yeah.
Also, like the idea of they have like a tapestry of what dragons look like, and they're in Asia, and they look, and there's like a bunch of like snake dragons, and they're like, no. It doesn't look like it. No.
It doesn't look like the kid's drawing.
Yeah, exactly. No. Like, no. Move on.
So they find the dragon. The kid's like, this dragon sucks. So they put it up for sale in the royal pet shop.
Yes. So then your first act is he buys the dragon. He tells his parents, "I paid the taxes. Don't worry." And they say, get rid of that.
Well, no. They say, where did the dragon come from? And then he said, oh, it was attacked. Right?
He makes some lie. I like that they tell him to even get rid of his pet. We can't afford the pet. And he keeps it under his bed. And right, he's a liar to his parents. I paid the taxes and I got rid of my dragon. But he's actually taking care of this little creature now.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Oh,
and I got the candy.
Yeah. Well, then your second act would be as he's trying to keep this creature.
Okay. I bet I'm having a thought. Could you do something where the reason, like, because there used to be big dragons, right? Mm-hmm. But no one's seen them in a million years or whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone in town, like, the candy is like, it's like, you know, like plum jelly or something. It's like plums, right? And then, but what will you find out is that, like, that night, when the dragon's under his bed, the dragon eats the plum, and he wakes up the next day, the dragon is huge.
Oh.
Or like getting a little bit bigger. Because what you do, I like, then that
that's how the dragons got big.
And that's how they get caught with not paying taxes, that he keeps having to take money from his parents to go buy more plum candy to give it to his dragon. And the parents are like, I swear we're saving, but like we keep losing money. The kid's just like trying to keep dragon alive and keep feeding the dragon.
Yeah, and it
gets harder and harder to keep.
He's running hustles, like, see the beast from, you know, and then it's like he's charging kids
on
the playground. Yes,
then you do Frey Prince Jr. like eyes the dragon or something, and he's like, who are those people? And he finds out they haven't paid their taxes, and he sicks the tax man on them. And then it all kind of comes to light. Like,
well, yeah, no, they see that the dragon's not in the royal pet shop anymore.
Yes.
And he's like, someone bought it. It's like this little kid bought it. Like, what the fuck was that? Kid's like, wait. So, yeah. So then
those peasants have $10. Like, so they didn't pay their taxes.
So
was my $10. Well, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, technically. So I bought it. Well,
big picture, act two is the kid living with the dragon, right? And then the other kid going to Freddie Prinze Jr. going to print school and, you know, being unhappy and getting bullied. We're like, man, this kid's got it tough too. And then he sees that the dragon's been sold, or he hears that the dragon's been sold. He's like, someone else. Now he's mad that someone else took his dragon. He's like, I wouldn't mind want someone else to take that dragon.
What I also like is the irresponsibility of not getting rid of the dragon and then still taking money to keep making the dragon bigger. The dragon getting bigger is what makes Freddie Prinze Jr. see the dragon, which then exposes everything. Like, Frey Prinze Jr. sees, like, he's like, man, what happened to my dragon? And then he sees a big dragon. He's like, where the hell?
He sees this kid flying around on a dragon.
Yes, exactly. He flies around at night and he's loving it.
He's like, that's my fucking dragon.
You cut the Frey Prinze Jr. like tossing in his beautiful poster bed, and you just hear it in the distance.
Fuck yeah, this is yes,
that's great.
He's like, what manner of he busts open the windows, like, hey, shut up down there. And it's like, woo, up here, bitch. Woo.
Yeah,
the guy's like flying around.
So Jack wakes up and there's an army of soldiers around his house, and they're like, you didn't pay your taxes, we're gonna kill your family and take that dragon,
and we're also getting you for illegal use of airspace around the castle. That's going to be another misdemeanor.
And the dragon's about to kill them all, but Jack steps in front of it and saves it. And then Freddie Prinze Jr. realizes that this dragon's gonna kill everybody unless Jack is with it, because Jack's bonded it. And he's like, fine, I'll spare your family if you come with me, because this dragon's rad. You're gonna teach me how to train this dragon.
It's gonna protect me at school.
Yes. You're gonna teach me how to
train your dragon.
Yes. How to train my dragon.
How to train a rich kid's dragon is the name of this movie. Then your third act is essentially what we're
Prince school.
Third act is Prince School. It's this kid learning how to pretend to be a prince and stay alive in this.
He's learning about duty to his family.
Yes, duty to his family. And this kid's learning about how not to be a little monster.
Yeah.
And they bond over this dragon.
You have the scene where all, like, the first presentation in class, he cuts in. He gets lied into, right? He's like, he's not a prince. And the first thing is like, oh, it's class presentation day, your family tree.
And like every prince has this whole lineage.
Oh, I love
like their
that.
Whole thing. Yeah. It's like these things. It's like, so what do you guys like? Oh shit.
And then he has to use his skill as a storyteller to make up like what his family tree is.
But in doing so, he realizes, oh, I don't understand. I don't even know my family.
Oh, they should actually search. Oh, that's actually a good moment. He's like, you don't know anything about your family. And like, well, it'll be a little hard because your family are a bunch of peasants, so most of their bones and stuff are probably just stuck in the manure pit, but we'll figure it out. And they go through, like, the prince helps him and goes through this records, and the kids start learning about his family. It's like, oh, weird. Like, your great-great-great-grandparent was actually, like, an adventurer and came over here
and then lost the battle.
And he starts learning the history, and he's like, oh, shit, my parents went through a lot of shit to have
me.
And the kid starts learning or whatever.
Yeah, his dad was a soldier. And then or whatever.
His
parents had a his parents gave up a lot for him, right? Yeah. So he's, that's great. I love that.
Okay, so, yeah, you start getting all that nice stuff with these two kids, and then the third act climaxes with the kingdoms all thinking that there's this Dragatonia out there where peasants are paid as well as kings, and as
they
chaos.
Get to because they get to live where they live how they choose. Every man gets to choose how he wishes, what he wishes to be. You know, whether if he wants to be a prince, he can be a prince. If he wants to be a peasant, he can be a peasant. You know, it's like blah blah blah. So he spells out his
prince school is shut down because the other kingdoms are afraid of any of this ideology being spread to their kids and all.
And then
Freddie Prinze Jr. is upset at Jack because right when he got his friends, now everybody's gone. His parents are mad at him. He's thinking about sending him back to the pit.
Our kid Jack Galt gives a 4-hour radio speech outlining his vision for humanity.
And then you'd probably do that Freddie Prinze Jr. like the dad gives him like it's like, if you want to be king, son, you have to learn to have guts.
To rule with an iron
decapitate
fist.
This dragon, right? Or something like that. Like, you get the moment where he's like...
Because the dragon is a symbol of whatever. So it's like, they lock up the dragon? Like, you're going to execute the dragon
because
tomorrow.
Because they start to see, like, the dragon. Because Dragontonia, people are using that as a sigil, as, like, a symbol.
Yeah, they're seeing the graffito.
It's like the Mockingjay in Hunger Games or whatever. And then you would do that.
So this is Act 4, essentially, right?
And then they find out, Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jack, or Jack comes and tells Freddie Prinze Jr., they find out that the place that they're going, Dragontonia, doesn't exist as they think it is, but it does. But they are going to the land of where this dragon was born.
Because they're basing because the two of them together, this is like their kind of daydream together. Yes. As they make up this kingdom, and it's like, oh, my men said they found the dragon here or whatever, right? Yes. Like, or whatever that is.
And he's like, you can't, you know, you have that great scene. Freddie Prinze Jr. is up on top of this castle with, you know, the dragons chained up, and he's like, you don't know what I'm gonna have to do to you tomorrow, do you, buddy? And he's crying, and then Jack comes up, he's like, hey, dude, I thought I'd find you up here. You can't do this tomorrow, and all that stuff. You have this scene, and then he's like, you're not just killing him, they're your dad. All the kingdoms are going to find. They're going to kill his parents. They're going to kill all the dragons. Every creature like him. And they go, that can't happen. So these two kids team up, and your act five is riding the dragon together, and they go to Dragatonia, and they, you know, they fight the armies, and they stop
you
in
do
front
the
of him.
You
they
do the thing where
the prince
just wants to ride the dragon because he got woken up that one time. He's like, this is basically my whole thing.
And it's
the dragons bucked him off every time.
He has to ride the dragon.
Because
here's what you do. They're going to... steal a bunch of plums to give to the dragons to defend themselves. So that maybe people like, you know, like they'll scare them off or something like that. Do you know what I mean? Because it's
fun.
Like the dragons up there, they're all tiny now because all the plums got far harvested, right? So they're all teeny tiny dragons. That's why they're all itty bitty, is because like they,
all their unattainium was taken from them.
Exactly. So they're like, again, like the all.
So
the,
they're steroids. Their fruit steroids were gone.
Their Michael's special sauce is gone. So you do like he's gonna fly the dragon and he's gonna deliver the plums or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I like that. They have some plan. I like that. I like the candy. Because it's also like how great of a kid's thing is that they raid the kingdom's candy store.
They raid the candy. That's great.
Candy.
It's the plum candy.
Candy in general.
But plum candy specific, Freddie. Just don't take away our
it's
plum candy.
It's kind of weird.
I know it's weird.
Yeah, but it's like Turkish delight or whatever, right? It's like
which by the way is garbage. I just want to point that out. Have you ever tried Turkish Delight?
No, what is Turkish Delight?
It's from, all I know is it is from Narnia.
Yeah, guess what? Like fucking the fucking greatest con old C.S. Lewis ever pulled was making kids think Turkish Delight was anything other than garbage candy for garbage. Actually, I will say this. It's good, but you got to get used to it. It's one of those candies. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's like, I mean, if you don't like rose water.
Oh, this looks like so, it's just a very, this looks so up my alley. It's just rose water jelly.
If you like rose water, you'll be fine.
Some pretty bland, but it looks good.
This was, because if I recall, he wrote about it at a time when it was like, they didn't have any candies, and they're like, what, this one sweet thing in our life? Like, so it was, anyway, point is.
It sounds pretty
whatever,
delightful.
Turkish Delight sucks, but Whatever. I'm sure there's some good places.
Okay, so the kids have to work together, and yeah, I like that. The kid,
like Snickers is better. Prince, I take a fun size Snickers.
Freddie Prinze Jr. has to stand up to his dad in front of the army, and yeah, they stop the war. Yeah, there's a little action scene or whatever, but nobody gets killed because it's a kids' movie, and they
all
they
the two stop. Sides are running at each yeah. other, right? Like, is they all because it's the peasants show up to defend Dragontonia,
yes, yes,
and then they show up to really to attack Dragontonia, yes. and they're about to kill each other over nothing, right?
Yes.
And then they show up with the dragon and they give the plums to the I'm not exactly sure how this plum angle works, because what then when all the dragons are gonna fucking kill everybody?
Yeah, they're not there to get
these dragons yoked.
The kid has to come clean is what
yeah,
it is
yeah, yeah, yeah.
he has yes. to tell the truth
yes yes with, that's his
and his yeah, parents yeah, because yeah. his dad was a former soldier is like leading the peasant revolt.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's really good.
Freddie Prinze Jr. has to stand up to his dad to do what he thinks is the right thing.
He has to come clean to his
duty.
Parents, because this is all spun out into be this crazy lie.
And then, yes, Jack has to come clean to his parents.
Like, I made up Dragontonia. Yes. It doesn't exist. There's, yeah, yeah, you know, like,
I'm the one who didn't pay the taxes.
Dragontonia.
I'm the one who didn't pay the taxes. I'm the one who, yeah.
Yeah. Dragontonia is more like of an idea and kind of jacked up, because you guys are all going to be thinking about that now. So we do need to change politically, clearly. But
Dragontonia is not real. Because
Dragontonia is a thing?
No.
What are you talking about?
It's an idea, man.
Oh,
it's not a place. It's a place in your mind.
I see what you're saying.
Worker's paradise, if you will.
You could do that. Because, yeah, you do that. It never came out that Jack actually stole the tax money.
Yeah.
So, because, yeah, what you would do is that he, the dad just thinks it's, he tells the dad, like, I paid the taxes, I promise.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
they took his kid. And so the dad
yeah.
is
oh,
fucking
shit.
Pissed.
Yes,
like,
yes,
the dad
yes.
and the mom are like, yeah, like, I don't have to be gender normative about it, like his parents are furious, right?
Yeah,
they're like,
yeah.
so that's what sparks the revolt. Like his lie
is
part of what provokes the unrest. You know what I mean?
I like that.
And
but yeah,
and the dad and the mom and dad are like, you know, like they're like it's like the French couple in Tale of Two Cities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the two of them are like they can't unite anyone to their cause. They're like, we need something greater than ourselves to believe in. And then they hear whispers of Dragontonia,
yeah.
and that becomes the sigil, and they lead this revolt.
Then at the end, it's like, then you got this little epilogue and you do that, like, Jack is back at school because he's no longer grounded. Then who shows up in the classroom? It's Freddie Prinze Jr. because he's like,
school's for everybody now.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, you also imply that, like, taxes were lowered or they're not all servants.
They're gonna, what if we spent the taxes on, universal pre-K?
Yeah, universal pre-K. They actually enslave all the dragons. They start using dragons
the whole
for all their
thing
work.
Is a morality tale about why you need to invest money in public education. Because
yeah.
it's like,
yeah.
if Jack had been in school where he belonged, he wouldn't have had the time to
yeah.
lie about his taxes and buy a dragon.
But then you show that they're still not perfect, because you do Jack and Freddie Prinze Jr. are like taking a test and maybe even like glance at each other and they're like, hey, they're like, a little cheating. And then all of a sudden they hear, and they look outside the window of the school and the dragon's there.
Mm-hmm.
And they look at each other and sure enough, they're ditching class, riding their
Sweet Panama.
Dragon
and this will be, and I've said this, by the way, for years, this will be the first medieval epic style type of thing that isn't scored like Lord of the Rings, that's scored 100% Swedish death metal. Like, when he's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all the battle scenes, it's
can't
just like.
Can we just do like, I don't want to do Swedish death metal. This feels like a 70s weed rock movie.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Yeah. I'm
like
with
the
that.
Really, like the 12 hours of like folksy
fantasy
bullshit that
yes.
Rush
back
and
when,
Led Zeppelin
back
did.
When rock, back when rock bands could use a mandolin and look each other in the eye. Yeah. I agree. My point is not Lord of the Rings style, like sweeping instrumental, stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want no lutes. Those guitars be electric. I want some fuzz in those guitars, baby.
Yeah. There you go.
There it is.
Well,
that's pretty good.
That was about the easiest break we've ever done.
Well, guys, there you go. When the source material is so rock solid,
that's true.
It just writes itself.
Guys, maybe we should do kids' movies. I feel like this is just in the end, after all said and done, it's just like kind of where our hearts go.
This is like, I've been working on a theory lately that I'm like, I don't think adults deserve fiction. I think once you're 18, you should have to put away fiction and go fix the world and make it better for children.
Well, there you go, everybody. That
is an interesting thought, actually.
New story break worldview.
Watch you guys.
If you're under, if you're over 18, turn this podcast off and go do good things, because I'm sure it's not, sure you're not doing them.
Why don't y'all mull on that while we take a quick break, and when we come back, some more fun.
Is there a dog in a car at a bar on the street? Yay! I'm Allegra Ringo, a small dog owner. My dog Pistachio howls when she's excited.
And I'm Renee Culvert, a big dog owner. My dog Tugboat tips over when he's sleepy.
And we co-host a podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog that airs every Tuesday. We bring you all things dog.
Yes, dog news, dog tech, dogs we met this week. We also have pretty famous guests on, but Legs, we're not going to let them talk about their projects.
No.
Just want to hear about those dogs.
We don't want to hear about your stuff, only your dogs. So join us every Tuesday on Max Fun.
Once upon a time in the 16th century, a spoiled little boy named Freddie Prinze Jr. got a teeny tiny dragon for his birthday.
It's like a Mad Lib.
When Freddie saw the dragon, this is what he said. That dragon's too small. I want a big dragon. So the people took the dragon to the royal pet shop, hoping to sell it for at least $10. One day, a compulsive liar named Jack saw the dragon, and this is what he thought. I sure would like that dragon for a pet. So he embezzled his parents' tax money, bought the dragon, and brought it home. When Jack fed the dragon plum candy, it became very big and also his best friend. But when Freddie Prinze Jr. saw Jack flying around on a big dragon, this is what he thought. I would like my dragon back, even if it means abducting that child and forcing him to come with me to Prince School. And that is what he did. Together at Prince School, Jack and Freddie learned about many things, like duty and kindness. When the other princes asked Jack about his homeland, Jack lied yet again and made up Dragontonia, an awesome kingdom where peasants rule and royalty drools. When Freddie's daddy found out about Dragontonia, he was very mad. Ah, Freddie's daddy said, your friend's utopian rhetoric has inspired an underclass revolt. You are grounded, Freddie. And execute that dragon. Freddie's daddy gathered his army and went off to destroy Dragontonia. Jack's parents led a vengeful mob to stop him. But Freddie and Jack set their dragon free. They rode all the way to Dragontonia to stop their parents from fighting. Freddie stood up to his daddy. Jack told the truth to his parents, and everyone agreed that maybe society could be a little bit more equitable. The next day, Freddie's daddy ordered a 3% wealth tax on all the multi-billionaires throughout the land. Jack and Freddie became best friends in their well-funded public school. Jack's parents paid off the rest of their law school debt through the king's generous student loan forgiveness program. The king won re-election by embracing a bold progressive agenda that put the people first, and they all lived happily ever after, the end.
Very
That's
good.
That's a good story.
You know, I need my fancy. Just a little bit more liberal propaganda. Not enough of that. If you know, Will, you could be like, you know how C.S. Lewis is known for like inserting Christian themes?
Can
you insert Christian themes when you were primarily a Christian theologian?
That's a good point.
He's a Christian philosopher, and then he wrote Narnia.
Yeah, it's kind of like in his bones, in his jewels.
Yep.
Will, very good.
Thank
I gotta
you.
Say, your vocabulary has markedly improved
yeah.
since being a small child. Congratulations.
You know, I kind of wanted to keep that old school third grade Will cadence to the story, so I picked up some of my favorite phrases from that one were, like, he saw this and this is what he thought. Like, I like that actually.
It's very demonstrative.
It's very direct, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Beowulf was written the same way, actually.
Yes,
yeah.
Beowulf was written by me when I was in third grade.
And this is better than Beowulf. Well, you know what would be cool?
What?
Is a children's book, like, version, right? Like, bound and illustrated.
Like a leather-bound tome.
That'd be cool, right? Like a children's book, because this is, you know, I'd be proud to read this to...
I gotta say, the children's book game seems like one of those things that everyone thinks they can do,
yes,
and then
yes,
you're like, 100%. Oh, shit, this is a lot harder than I thought it was.
It's like that in voice acting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a cool voice. I could be a voice actor.
I could get paid a
hey.
Lot. Here's my two voices. Here's me normal.
And then here's me deep.
Okay. Here's me doing trailer guy.
All right, so where's the money come in? I'll tell you my bank account. You can wire it direct. Here's my W-9.
Well.
That was a good bid.
Thanks.
We should definitely keep that.
I'm keeping that in. Hey, Will, did we get any fan art?
Is that your
other voice for your voice acting audition reel?
Three out of all three in a row there.
All right, we sure did get some fan art this week.
Whoa, did you guys get fan art?
Okay, all right, we're done. Everyone, you can still listen to the rest of the podcast. We're done doing the goofy voices. Special thanks this week to our fan art fans. Darby Moel on Twitter gave us the Faust and the Furious.
He put
Faust and the Devil into the Paul Walker goodbye scene from Furious 7, which I thought was very good and well done. So thank you to Darby. Thanks to Downtown Ryan Alistair Brown for giving us Now That's What I Call Appalachia, Volume 12, featuring a very apropos golden fiddle at the top of the picture. So thanks, Ryan. We've got another... piece of fan art from Liz Ruel on Twitter. She did a for sale baby shoes never worn poster, which is very spooky. So thank you, Liz. And that's it this week.
Oh, and speaking of where this good fan art is, you can find all of that at RJ Storybreak on Twitter and bit.ly/storybreakfb. Also, we just got these in. We got to put these up on the tour. There's some handsome mugs. Have you seen these, Will?
Hell yeah, we got some mugs. We talked to you guys about the mugs over on the Christmas break, but now it's past Christmas, and it's time for you to buy that mug to treat yourself to
That's
a quality
right.
Story Break mug. These are the official writing mugs of the Story Break podcast. When we're slinging back hot piping bean juice straight into our gullets, this is what we use.
One of the questions we always get anytime we, you know, talk anywhere is like, how do you become a better writer? And the number one response is always drinking coffee from a really good mug, preferably a mug that has to do with writing and has a little bit of humor attached to it.
Yeah, so, you know, a mug that you laugh along with, but you learn something too.
Exactly.
We can't legally say you'll become a better writer if you drink from our mugs, but
yeah.
Yeah. Buy our mugs.
folks, these beautiful Hollywood professional mugs are available at topatoco.com, TOPATOCO, under the whole Maximum Fun category of stuff. And we'll tweet about it. You can check
out Twitter. You'll see some pictures of the mugs in action.
One more thing this week.
That's right.
Oh, we got a new podcast, baby.
A new one coming at you.
New audio fucking content for your ear holes. It's a Dungeons & Dragons podcast. It's called Dungeons & Daddies. It's not a BDSM podcast. It's just a regular D&D podcast.
Regular D&D podcast about four dads on an adventure in a magical realm.
Four dads from our world, and we're played by myself, Matt, Will, Beth, who has been a Story Break contributor.
Beth May from the Tearjerker
That's
episode.
Right, Tearjerker, and our friend Anthony Birch.
Head writer of Rocket Jump the Show and Anime Crimes Division,
and
I
also
believe.
Veteran DM, and he's a very good DM. So if you like Dungeons...
Daddy Master
Daddy
in this
Master
show.
In this show, yeah. If you like Dungeons & Dragons, why don't you check it out? It's called Dungeons & Daddies.
Or if you don't like Dungeons & Dragons and you just like us, which, let's be honest, I think more people like us than Dungeons & Dragons, go check out Dungeons & Daddies.
Dungeons & Daddies.
Where you'll get this rockin' sense of humor nonstop.
Yeah, baby. I think that's going to finally do it for us this week here on Story Break. Matt is moments away from disappearing into the hole of fatherhood.
Yep. I might become a real daddy, and then my social life will become the Forgotten Realms.
I think we got to leave it on that.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen.
That's fantastic.
Do you have any recommendations for stuff? Just a quick one?
Yeah, I'm Will. I'm a writer. Watch Dungeons & Daddies. Listen to Dungeons & Daddies. It's real good. Also, I recommend our mugs.
My name is Freddie. All of my weekend time has been spent editing Dungeons & Daddies, so maybe please listen to this new podcast and let me know what you think about our hard work.
This is Matt. Give Ace Combat 7 a shot. I never played Ace Combat before, but I did not realize how anime and how crazy the like stories were. It's like Top Gun meets like rad anime. It's great.
All right.
So anime.
Yeah. Matt recommends anime.
Just as an adult.
I think you should all try out this thing called Anima.
All right, folks, we'll see you next week.
Hello, this is Amy Mann.
And I'm Ted Leo.
And we have a podcast called The Art of Process. We're talking about how the creative process is in itself an art form, in our opinion. There are underlying forms and structures that serve as a scaffolding for any creative endeavor.
We've been lucky enough over the past year to talk to some of our friends and acquaintances from across the creative spectrum to find out how they actually work.
We weirdly don't know as many musicians as you would expect.
New episodes will be coming every other Monday,
starting January 28th.
So please listen and subscribe at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.